Today, we'd like to see the title over in himself in Luke chapter 12, verses 1 to 21. To online words of people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 10, and anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. What does the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit mean? Question 2, in verse 12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. How should we do during preaching or teaching, even to hostile audiences? Last question 3, in verse 21, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What does it mean? What does it mean? To understand the chapter 12, we want to see brief background. Last Luke chapter 11, verse 53 and 54. And as Jesus said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him. Pharisees and scribes are baiting Jesus in this heated debate in order to accuse him. Chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, talk about hypocrisy. 4 to 7, don't fear of man rather than of God. 8 to 9, confess Jesus Christ before man, and Jesus Christ will confess you before the angels of God. 10 to 12, Holy Spirit's teaching on time. 13 to 21, a rich man, the fool. First one, in the meantime, so in the last time, heated debate between Jesus Christ and Pharisees. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people who are audiences and seers had gathered together so that they trampled one another, they pushed each other, Jesus began to say to his disciples, here Jesus say to his disciples who are Jesus' audiences right here, first of all, beware of the leaven. Leaven is yeast in flour to swell. It's a symbol, an evil influence to others. Leaven of the Pharisees, which is a hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, the Greek word, hypokrisis, in literal meaning is wearing a mask. So your face is hidden before mask. So watcher didn't see your face behind the mask. It implies one's outside is close to God, but one's heart is far from God. For example, Luke chapter 11, verse 42, but word to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Jesus said Pharisees made a tithing to God with the herbs, such as mint, rue, and all manner of herbs, But the problem, Pharisees disregard the justice of God, the love of God, which meaning the Pharisees draw people's attention from the people. So that's why Jesus said, these you ought to have done. So before making tithes to the Lord, you should have the matter of heart to love God, also the righteousness of God, or the justness of God. So that's an example for hypocrisy. Outside, it looks like close to God, but inside, far from God. Verse 2, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark, such as in a closed room, or off stage, off of the camera, will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, in inner rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetop. God knows everything, omniscient God. So don't live a double life with double standards. Now, verses 4 to 7 about don't fear of a man rather than of God the Father. 4 to 7. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Here, in heated debate situation, so Pharisees and scribes might kill some of disciples. That's why Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that, have no more that they can do. So they cannot have any power the life after death. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him or fear God, who, after he has killed, has a power to cast into hell. So the life after death is also has a power by God. Hell, English words, Greek words, two kinds of hells. One is Hades, which means grave. The Hebrew says Sheol. Before Jesus' death and resurrection, Hades was divided into two compartments. For example, Luke chapter 16, verse 23, and being in torment in Hades, torment part in Hades, he, or a rich man, lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham's bosom afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So, before Jesus' death and resurrection, Hades was divided into two. One is torment compartment, the other one is comfort compartment called as Abraham's bosom. Then, this one, the second one is Gehenna. Gehenna, eternal place of punishment to evil. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Then death and Hades, or graves, were cast into the lake of fire. Lake of fire, the Greek word Gehenna. This is the second death. Mark chapter 9, verse 48. Where their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. Gehenna. So Jesus said, has a power to cast into Gehenna, the lake of fire. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Therefore, you should fear God. God has a power not only to kill the dead body, but also to eternal deaths as well. Verse 6, are not five spirits sold for two copper coins or farthings? Two copper coins or farthings is equal to 1 cent. So two for one copper coin, but if you pay two copper coins, you could buy four spirits plus one extra one. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, are not two spirits sold for a copper coin or for a farthing? So one farthing is two spirits. So if you two farthings paid, so you could buy four spirits plus one spirit is free. So that means spirit is not worth much, but God cares all over his creatures. Much care you more than spirit. Here, do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many spirits. So God take care over you more than many spirits. Therefore, you should not fear man rather than of God. Verses 8 to 9, confess Jesus Christ before man, and Jesus Christ will confess you before the angels of God. And I say to you, whoever confesses me before man, whoever admits Jesus before man, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. We know that 3 weeks ago, South Sudan, his name Jacob, so he confessed Jesus Christ before the man, radical Islam people. So although he was killed, but we know that he will admit, Jesus Christ will admit him before the angels of God, before God the Father. But he who denies me before man will be denied before the angels of God. Then verses 10 to 12, Holy Spirit's teaching on time. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. For example, before becoming a Christian, one might have spoken against Jesus Christ or the Son of Man. So then you repent your sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ saved in the form of a belief, then your sin is forgiven. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Jesus explained Matthew chapter 12, verse 22-24. Then one was brought to Jesus who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute. And Jesus healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow, meaning Jesus Christ, does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. So Pharisees accused Jesus to cast out demons by Satan. So Jesus responded to Pharisees, verse 31, therefore, Jesus, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven man, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven man. So blasphemy means to speak evil language against the holy things. So here, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit means intentional and continual rejection of the witness of the Holy Spirit to your heart, so that you must believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord. That is, unpardoned sin is unbelief. So any other sins are pardonable. Verse 11, now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, because the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour, on time, what you should say. So we should know, how should we do? We should know God's word and be tuned to the Holy Spirit during preaching or teaching, even to hostile audiences, such as persecutors, cursors, haters, or IS, and so on. For example, Jesus' disciples were trained by Jesus for 3 years. So Jesus' disciples knew the word of God. Also, one example, Stephen, in book of Acts chapter 7, Stephen testified before Sanhedrin court. Stephen, the deacon, knew the word of God fluently. Also, Stephen was attuned to the Holy Spirit. So that we should do so. So here, first of all, God the Father is taking care of you. So you don't fear of man, but of God. Number two, Jesus Christ confession you or admission you before the angels of God. Last one, the Holy Spirit teaching on time. Here, Trinity God is there. Verse 13 to 21, a rich man, the fool in spiritual things, Then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Probate dispute. Ask Jesus to arbitrate it. Who gets the most? What portion belongs to whom? Then, verse 14, but Jesus said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Likely non-responsive answer, but Jesus teaches a fundamental issue of heart. Verse 15, and Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. So anything other than outer thing, so divide the inheritance left over by their parents. So rather than, you should watch for your heart. So covet means to eagerly desire to possess what you don't have. Jesus said, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. This is the exact opposite of what today's society usually concerns. So life is not in your abundant possession rather than in your intimate relationship with God. Jesus said. Then verse 16, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. So this man is a rich man, yielded plentifully in the material world. And he thought within himself, inner thing, in heart, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build a greater. So he decided to make a greater barns in order to store all crops and my goods. Here he is not satisfied, but accumulated more and more. He already rich. Also, his ground yielded, produced plentifully. But he is never satisfied with goods, crops. So then, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 said, now godlessness with contentment is great gain. So satisfaction is likeness of God. Contentment is likeness of God. Godlessness, that's a great gain. But here, this rich man is not satisfied at all. Then I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years right now. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Simply, he prepared for retirement plan, preparing for the life before death. But he did not concern the life after the death at all. Verse 20, but God said to him, fool. That's why God said to rich man, fool, this night your soul will be required of you, which meaning you are dead this night. So your body is separated from your soul and spirit. Then whose will those things, material things, be which you have provided? So obviously, his children fought each other, you know, who get more, so the most, you know, basically. Verse 21, here, life after death, if this rich man is a non-Christian, he will not enter the kingdom of God because he has no faith of Christ. So if he is a Christian, he might enter the kingdom of God with empty rewards. Empty rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. If anyone's work during life, which he has built on it, the foundation of Christ, which is a salvation faith, endures, he will receive a reward, such as gold, silver, precious stone. But if anyone's work is burned, the work of flesh, such as straw, wood, he will suffer loss, so no reward, suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire, so no reward, empty reward. Then verse 21, so is he who lays up treasure for himself on the earth and is not rich toward God. Simply, he is a pauper. As far as God is concerned in spiritual things. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit and spiritual thing, not mature thing. Jesus challenges us to think our life in abundant possessions and teaches us to use the given possessions for the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is simply theocracy. In our life, make Jesus the Lord. The Lord in our life is central to all we do, not just one of all we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's see each question answer. Question 1 in verse 10. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. What does the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit mean? That means intentional and continual rejection of the witness of the Holy Spirit to your heart, so that you must believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord. Question 2, in verse 12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. How should we do during preaching or teaching, even to hostile audiences? So we should know the Word of God. We should be tuned to the Holy Spirit, even teaching or communication. Question 3, in verse 21, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What does it mean? So the rich man on the earth is not rich toward God, meaning and as God concerned in spiritual things. Let's sing song all together. The last song, page 8, number 3.